Welcome back to Retail Therapy. My name is Will DeFries. It's a little empty in the studio today, as Barrett is not here. He's overloaded with work with the holidays ahead of us, but that's okay, because we had a special guest on today. Today I had on Ethan Glenn of Every Other Thursday. I started following him a long time ago on TikTok, and I don't really like to mix my follows on TikTok with my follows on Instagram. And so I kind of lost base with him for a little bit in terms of following the stuff he did because I was spending less and less time on TikTok. And then I was like, you know what? I need to go follow him on Instagram. And when I checked up on him, I was just absolutely stoked on what I saw. The things that he's been doing with Every Other Thursday are just awesome, and I've been following along for a while now. And so the majority of this episode will be my interview with him, where we go through just kind of the design process of Every Other Thursday, his inspirations. We even get to go into some vinyl deep dive for the first time on Retail Therapy, which is not something I'm used to and something I want to do more of. But before we do that, I just wanted to check in with producer Randy real quick. Randy, how are we doing today?
Oh, doing fantastic, Will. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just sent you something. Like, I can't do an episode of Retail Therapy without talking about certain things that I've just seen lately. And there was just something on my timeline that just really couldn't wait. Being that you're a big like flower box guy now, and I'm trying to get a green thumb in my life, I thought I'd bring this up. It's a tweet from someone named Jukebox Cowgirl, which like I kind of want that app myself. Randy, where do we stand on classic sage green Craftsman bungalows?
I'm kind of vibing with it. I mean, it's giving gnome. It's giving very fantasy gnome type stuff. I don't know if I'd personally want to live in one, but you know, I would like to have a nice ale, a nice tea in there.
A nice mead?
A nice mead, yes.
I mean, I look at these photos and some things stand out to me. The beautiful plant life around these things. Just the dark green paint on the outer parts of the house. The stonework, Randy. You've been doing some mead stuff lately. Could you enjoy a glass of mead out here? Do you even call that a glass of mead?
Oh yeah. Oh, you can multiple. You can drink mead in multiple things. Maybe a flagon.
But what's a flagon?
I should know that. Yeah, maybe I'll just drink it mead out of a wineskin. Ooh, maybe I should ask for a wineskin for Christmas.
What's a wineskin?
You know, it's like a. You never seen like a water skin like old people used to have back in the day? It's pretty much, I think it was made out of like a bladder of a animal.
Okay.
And it was just like, okay, pretty much just a bag of water, but it was like made out of like leather pretty much, but and of like a animal stuff.
Can you, do they have like does like Ame Leon Dor sell one of those, or do you have to like go, or do you have to like go somewhere else and go find that?
Honestly, I bet you that someone at the Ren Fair sells wineskins. I'll let you know. I really want to go back to the Ren Fair. I'm going to look up how much is a wineskin. I mean, put that in the holiday gift guide.
Barrett and I have talked numerous times about how like Gnomecore. We've talked about Gnomecore. I think it's adjacent to Tomato Girl Core. I'm just doing a preemptive or just an impromptu aesthetic of the week right now, which this week's aesthetic of the week is classic sage green Craftsman bungalows. And like, I feel as though this is trending into an area that you know more about than me, because you, even though I enjoyed like the Lord of the Rings movies and stuff, I feel like you were kind of in on, like, you just know more about those worlds than me. I feel like if you were going to live in a house, Randy, like, and you wanted to go full Hobbit, this would be the closest thing that one of us could do.
That is very true. It's the plants that really make this feel a little bit more like a druid lives there, someone that cares about nature. And I just saw a wineskin kit for like $20 on Amazon, so I might be getting a wineskin soon. Let's see.
A kit?
Just a wineskin.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be a kit, and you're going to have to like go find your own bladder, and then do whatever you do to these things.
No, I have plenty enough hobbies as it is.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I know that on the Mail-In podcast recently, they were talking about hobbies, and I have yet to listen to that episode, but I'm very interested into what they were talking about.
Last year, I asked for a candle making kit to make my own scented candles for Christmas, and it's still in its box. I haven't done it yet. I just haven't had time. I haven't had time to do that hobby yet, but I will soon.
This sounds like an activity that somebody in this room would very much enjoy to share with you.
You?
Yeah, we could easily make our own scented candle. Yeah. No, I'm not the scented candle guy. We just have scented candles. Whatever. All right.
I'll let you know.
The aesthetic of the week was the classic sage green Craftsman bungalows. I think Ethan would approve of these two based on his color palette too. But without further ado, let's dive into his interview. But first, let's hear from one of this week's sponsors. This week's episode is brought to you by Early Bird. If you're not familiar with Early Bird, you need to be, because it's probably the best recreational hemp gummy that I've ever had. They contain about 2.5 milligrams of natural THC and around 12.5 milligrams of CBD in each gummy. These things are formulated for fun and to make you feel good. The reason I've taken them in the past is just to get a little buzz before bed. And honestly, I sleep so well after taking them. You just take one and you just kind of sink into this nice little comfort zone. Austin is the home of Early Bird. They've been supporters of Washed Media and this podcast from the very beginning. And I even know the founders of the company very well. I've always seen the process of the entire company, and it's been cool seeing them grow. But overall, it's just a gummy that I know that I can stand behind. So whether you're just trying to hang out, whether you're trying to pregame before going out, or some folks just use it to get a little buzz before, you know, going swimming or something, go check them out. If you want 20% off of your first purchase, use promo code WIX, W-I-C-K-S, again, promo code WIX at earlybirdcbd.com. And now for Ethan. Are you in L.A.?
Yeah, I am.
How long ago did you move there?
It's been about a year now. My girlfriend lives here, but also originally from Toronto. And so for a while, I was kind of going back and forth for about 6 months, 8 months. And then finally got that visa. And so now I'm allowed to legally live here.
Oh, that's great news for you. Was it a big move for you? I mean, I guess since you're already traveling down there, it was probably a little easier to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, I feel like I was at a weird point in my life where I think I was done with Toronto, where I like grew up and spent the majority of my life. And I think work-wise and life-wise, I was just ready for something new. And whether that was LA or New York or somewhere else, I think that just kind of aligned. And when my girlfriend and I started dating, I mean, LA wasn't really on my radar, but just happened to come through. And yeah.
Do you mind if I ask how old you are?
Yeah, I'm 26.
Okay. Yeah. So I kind of moved at the same time. I was 26. I guess you were a little younger than me. But when I kind of uprooted from my hometown where I'd spent a lot of time, I decided to move down to mm-hmm. Austin, and it was kind of freeing. It was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't really anticipate this move at any point. And when it actually happened, right. I was like, okay, I'm about to actually turn over a new chapter for the first time in a long time. Have you been enjoying right. it though?
Yeah, I feel like it has its moments. It's definitely strange. Growing up in Toronto, it's very much a walking city, like New York in that way, where, I mean, I didn't have a license until I was 20, 21. So the driving was just like not really something that was ever on my radar. And then moving to LA, it's like all you do is drive everywhere. If you yeah. want to go to the store, you have to drive. If you want to go to the park, you have to drive. It's just a very strange way of living. But I mean, you can't beat the weather, and it's been great for work and networking and meeting like-minded people and stuff. Not that Toronto doesn't have that, it's on a much larger scale down here.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And then how long have you been doing Every Other Thursday for? I know I started following you on TikTok like a really long time ago, and I don't even really use TikTok that much anymore, just out of my habits, but that was really where I became familiar with you. And then I saw you pop up on Instagram one day for Every Other Thursday, and I was like, oh, hell yes. Like, okay. Like, this is cool.
Sweet. I appreciate that. I would say it's been a good 2 years. Before it was a brand, it was just a mood board on Instagram mm-hmm. because years ago I just was bored one day and was like, let's just post some cool photos and call it a mood board. And then there wasn't really a plan to develop it any further from that. But you mentioned TikTok, kind of that's where my social media kind of took off for me. And with that came the ability to do things. And so people on TikTok love to ask you where you get stuff. And so I was like always answering, but a lot of the stuff I wear is vintage or just stuff that you can't really find, or it's like thrifted it or whatever that may be. And so I was like, well, how can I turn that question into like something that actually has value? And so I made a hat for myself that said Every Other Thursday, and people asked where that was from. And so then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Do you find when I made like my first ever product, I was like, okay, I really just want to make something that I want. Like, is that where yeah. you start from first and foremost?
100%. I mean, back even to that hat, I was wearing hats a lot for some reason at the time. I was really into hats. I was buying a lot of vintage hats off eBay, kind of like whatever cool things I could find. And this one hat that I ended up getting at a thrift store for some, I feel like it was a beer festival or something in Toronto. And I was like, I love the shape of this hat. Like, where can I find this? Did a bunch of research, found the hat, and I was like, oh, perfect. So I used that blank, put the logo on it, and it just kind of took off from there. And then now, even to this day, it just starts with like, what do I want or wish was like a little bit different than something else, and just kind of stems from there.
When you first started posting on like TikTok, I mean, I think the reason I was drawn to your content was because it was kind of like Sunday Scaries adjacent in a way. Like, it was relaxing to me. It was nice. It was aesthetically pleasing. For those reasons, I know people definitely enjoy following you. Do you think, or what do you think people were like, why do you think people take to your content so well?
That's a good question. I mean, I think the content's changed a lot since like even 2.5 years ago, which is kind of when I started TikTok. Back then it was very much kind of like anything and everything I would throw out there. I was posting like 10 videos a day for the first like 6 months. Like, I was just going crazy. And I really enjoyed, it was right around when TikTok started having vlogs, quote unquote. And so that YouTube concept, which is like the social media that I was first ever drawn to growing up, was like long videos of talking and then also some just clips to music and then some teachable moments and kind of whatever jumbled into one large video. And the TikTok at the beginning was a lot of like, how can I take that and then break it up into 10 different videos? So the first video of the day is me getting dressed, picking an outfit. The second video is me going somewhere. The third video is what am I eating for lunch? Let's review it. So it was very much just like casual. And there's a few people doing that, but back then, like 2.5 years ago, that was a topic and like a niche of content that just didn't really exist yet on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And then it just exploded. Now everyone does like lifestyle, day in the life kind of content. Not that I was the first, but it was definitely something that I'd like to think was on the forefront there. And I guess that was what drew people in.
I almost feel like it's like, I feel like people finally learned how to use TikTok so they could do it in a fast enough way that then it just started to get more popular because people were just like more well-versed within the app. Like, part of the reason I don't use TikTok is because, or I don't post on there a lot, is because I'm just not very like well-versed with it. Have you seen like the success bleeding over to all the other socials and everything like that?
For sure. I mean, that was definitely my big push at the beginning. I don't really use TikTok very much anymore either. I'm just not as interested in it anymore. It's evolved to a whole different beast. And I feel like I got what I got out of it, and then I'll come back to it now and then. But that is what, like I said, the brand, it sparked that at the beginning. It was like, where did you get that? Oh, it's this, you can buy it. And then that just snowballed into everything else that it's become.
Well, so for anyone who's new to you, can you just kind of give a bird's eye view of Every Other Thursday?
Sure. I would classify it as a lifestyle brand. We don't focus just on clothes. I mean, we've got some home products or whatnot. Like one of the first products we did was an ashtray with our logo on it, just because I wanted something to put a little incense paper burning on the coffee table. And I took a lot of photos of my apartment back then. I had a really cool loft with huge windows, and I always had like an incense paper burning or something. And so I was like, how can I take this photo and then make it branded? So I just branded that. So we do everything from stuff like that to, we just did a big knitwear drop last week, which had a bunch of different knitwear pieces, which was really exciting. We kind of, I would classify it as a lifestyle brand, heavily focused on the clothing. And it's pretty much just, I wouldn't call it basics, but it's definitely just like simple pieces that will go into whatever wardrobe you already have. We're not really big on like standout things.
How did you even get started? Like in terms of, you know, starting the brand, it's easy to create it's not easy to create a social following. Creating a social following is one thing. Creating products that people like, that are high quality, that are cool, is a whole different beast that, like, I feel like, especially, I mean, I've faced it before too, where you kind of have to switch gears. And so did you have any, you know, formal training when it came to design? Did you have any, did you have just an interest in it, or where did that all stem from?
I feel like there was an interest in clothes and fashion as a whole for a long time, but never any like actual training. I think any experience that I do have came from the marketing side of everything. I worked for a couple like large scale influencers years ago. I worked for a couple small brands. I worked for a marketing agency. So I had like a big hand in all of the marketing side of stuff. Like I did photography and videography. I did ads and SEO. I did anything on that side of it. But the actual production of clothing was all new to me. So everything's been a full work in progress. And I just kind of learned as we go. And some of the first things we made were, looking back, terrible. But we've grown a lot.
What was like the first step that you took when you were like, okay, I got to go, you know, make these products? Because you're not just doing like blanks from Comfort Colors and stuff like that. Like you're actually making things. I mean, what was like really the first step that you look back to?
I think... Well, the first stuff we made was the hats, ashtrays, and then like the leather card holders. And those leather card holders are still our top selling product, probably because they're priced too far below what most people would price a leather card holder at. But can't change the price now. So I feel like at that point, it was easy because it didn't take any like actual skill to create something. Like a hat just was a hat, and you put the logo on it. And the ashtray was just, okay, here's the ashtray, let's add the logo. And when it turned into like, okay, I'm ready to do clothes, I looked at all the blank stuff. I'd worked with brands before that had done a lot of work with blanks. And it just, for me, that is like you focus on the graphics, and that's your brand is all about the graphics and what you're going to put on it and your logo work. And for me, the logo work and the graphics never really interest me. It was more the fit, the wash, the fabric, stuff like that. And so I just had to dive straight in to how do I want it to fit and then let the garment speak for itself.
Are you working like with like overseas suppliers or anything like that? Or are you like, what's your process looking like?
We've got a few different manufacturers, depending on who can make the right thing and where. So the majority of our cotton production, so anything like hoodies, sweatshirts, tees, that's all done in Canada. This really great facility. They mill and manufacture all their own fabric. So it starts with like threads of cotton that they then turn into actual fabric, which is great. And so we can kind of see everything start to finish all in Canada. And then we've got a manufacturing partner in Portugal that does some stuff, and increasingly more and more as we head into the new year. Some of our like smaller accessories and stuff and knitwear is easiest done overseas because they just have far more capabilities and higher quality products. So it's kind of just like dependent on what is the best provider for what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Was it exciting to kind of go from like, you know, the card holders and the ashtray? And like, was it exciting to like take the bump up to like wearing some apparel and like receiving something in the mail for the first time and being like, oh my God, this is awesome. This fits.
I remember the first thing we did was a hoodie, and I really loved hoodies with like snaps out at the collar to kind of like close it in around your neck. Cause coming from Toronto, it's cold 8 months of the year. And I don't like to wear a scarf or anything, but if your hoodie snaps close, it acts as a scarf. And so I was like in love with that concept. I had a couple of vintage hoodies, a couple other brands that had that. And so the first hoodie that we made with our logo on it was a cut and sew piece, and we had the snaps. And I was like, this is crazy. Like, this is everything I've always wanted. Like, it fits exactly how I want it. It was so cool. I loved it.
I mean, yeah, I whenever I find a piece that I really like and I like want to like, and I mean, I always have these fantasies of like recreating it in a way that I would like. And like the first time I ever saw snaps on a hoodie was from, I think like Noah had them on them one time, and I bought it and they never created one again. And I shrunk it in the wash on accident one time, and I was like, well, there goes my snap hoodie. It's devastating. Has it been hard like moving from somewhere that's so cold weather driven to like LA where you don't get to like layer up all the time and kind of have moving from Northern Michigan to Austin, Texas was like, oh man, like I just want to layer up and like wear my like cool pieces, like wear the things that I really enjoy wearing out for like fashion purposes and not just like sweating in t-shirts and stuff.
Absolutely. That is like the daily struggle. Cause in the morning here, it's usually pretty cool. And it's nice to like wear a sweater and stuff, but midday it's always so hot. And coming from Toronto, it's like we just layer like 8 months of the year, and layering is the best outfit season, as anyone will tell you on any social media. They love to layer, and myself included. So like moving from Toronto, where I could wear a coat a lot of the times, or a sweater and a coat or whatever it may be, to now LA where it's like, oh, a sweater might be too much. We might need to just do a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy. We dropped the fleeces a few weeks ago. I guess that was a month ago now. And it was like 90 degrees outside. I was like, there's no way I can even take a photo in this because it's so hot. we ended up going to New York a couple weeks later for a trip, and I was like, perfect, we're bringing the fleece. I can finally take a photo and wear this thing. It was amazing.
Do you like New York? You big New York fan?
Yes. I think, I don't know. I often talk about like moving there and like glamorizing it that way. Coming from Toronto, it's so close. It's like a 45 minute flight. So it's very easy to go. I've been many times growing up and stuff as well, because it's just so close. And I always loved it. But as I get older, it's just like a little bit too hectic. Mm-hmm. I love the walkability, and I love how you can get everything you ever want in a 10 minute radius. And there's so many people to meet. And I love that side of it. But we were there for 10 days a few weeks ago, which was the longest I've ever been in New York. And it was a lot. I think by the end of it, both of us were like, okay, we need to go. This is too much.
I always kind of feel like it spits me out. And like, before I go, I romanticize it like everybody does. And like, even, you know, in the line of work and since starting retail therapy and stuff, so much comes out of New York that like, it's almost difficult to think of New York as like a geographic place sometimes when you're right. reading things online, and it's almost just like the place where everything happens. And it's like, shit, should I be there more than I am? Should I do stuff there more than I am? And then I go there, I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. And I think you made a good point. Like, the older you get, the more difficult it is to be in a city that's like so busy all the time when you're not used to that all the time.
Yeah, I think New York, I really like, because it resembles Toronto in a lot of ways. It has a lot of different communities kind of all squished into one place. Obviously, New York's a lot bigger and a lot more of a beast, but I think that's why I like coming back to it, because I get that like familiar feeling that I had growing up in Toronto, where I could walk anywhere in 10 minutes and get whatever I needed. And everyone just like hung out outside and in parks and all summer long. And I mean, New York, no one has an apartment big enough that they want to really hang out in. So everyone's just out doing things all the time.
Yeah.
And so like that really resonates with me. Whereas like LA, everyone just stays at home all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, LA is kind of the same for me in the way that I think about New York. It's like, I love visiting LA, but then like you get in traffic for one time and I'm like, oh, man, like, yeah, I don't know if I'm cut out for this traffic like I am. Do you have any stereotypes? Have you had any stereotypes in LA that you're like, oh, I didn't think that was going to be as true as it is? Like, I mean, is everyone just going to Erewhon and getting smoothies from Travis Scott and stuff?
There are a lot of people that love Erewhon. My girlfriend is a huge Erewhon fan. I don't personally get the hype. If you're from LA, I'm a much more of a Lassen's guy. Basically another small grocery store chain. They make the same juices, just $3 cheaper. So, feels a bit more low-key.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, like, we've got Austin's the flagship location for Whole Foods and stuff, and people always think that like we all shop there, and I'm like, no, I really never go to Whole Foods. Like, there's a lot of other good grocery stores that I can just go hit here. It's fine. This week's episode is also brought to you by Schedule 35. Schedule 35 is a Canadian-based startup that ships across Canada and the U.S. Their mission is to educate and enrich lives with deeper meaning and a better sense of self through micro-dosing psilocybin products. They're combining industry-leading products with educational content to fuel their unwavering desire to build a unified, healthy, and vibrant community. Hunter S. Thompson was the LSD-tripping maniac played by Johnny Depp in the book-turned-movie Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. The film got a lot of folks intrigued with psychedelics, but it mostly just freaked them out. If you take the opening line of the film, for example, there was a terrible roar all around us, and the sky was full of what looked like huge bats. Psychedelics, when abused, can be this, but when taken thoughtfully in small, sub-hallucinogenic doses, precisely measured out by science-backed companies like Schedule 35, you can experience the life-giving effects of psilocybin. Get 15% off with code SCARIES at schedule35.co. That's 15% off at schedule35.co using code SCARIES. On an inspiration level, like I assume you're kind of like me. I am pretty online. I get a lot of my inspiration just from scrolling, and it's kind of just mindless. Mm-hmm. But I also get a lot from trying to go out and just observe people and do kind of that kind of thing. Where do you get your inspiration from? Because I mean, you have such a targeted aesthetic and brand that has to come from somewhere targeted.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like on the product level, it's a lot from just products and stuff from like the 80s and 90s. I mean, a lot of the things that I used to wear, still wear, are like vintage L.L. Bean or Eddie Bauer stuff that was just like, felt like the perfect silhouette. And just a perfect like focus on the piece and not so much the branding, because majority of the time they didn't even have logos on a lot of stuff. It was, or if anything, it was small on the chest. And I think, so we get a lot of like clothing inspiration from that kind of like, okay, so our fleece, for example, this fall was really like high pile, chunky fleece. But a lot of the ones I feel like people have, like the Patagonia one, for example, which I'm sure everyone has owned at one point, is sits like a couple inches below your waist. And for me, I have that really separate distinction from like pants to top. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, well, that's not quite perfect. And this one I found in a completely different fabric from the 80s fits at the exact right place on my hips. So what if we took a little inspo from that, from this, and just kind of move with that? I feel like the like products from like 40 years ago are the best kind of reference for us. It's in line with the aesthetic. It's in line with the cuts, the fabrics, everything like that. In terms of like overall aesthetic and stuff like that, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint. I feel like it comes from everywhere. I feel like everyone can say that they see the vintage J. Crew ads and they're like, this is amazing. Like I follow this one account that all they do is post vintage J. Crew
ads.
Is
it Lost J. Crew?
Incredible.
Lost Trade Crew is like
my, it's incredible.
It just takes me back to being a kid and like getting those in the mail. And even if I couldn't fit into those clothes, it was so nice to just like open it up and be like, oh, I can't wait to dress like I'm on Dawson's Creek. It's going to be so sick.
Yeah. It was incredible. I love that. And so like the mood board on the Instagram before it was a brand had a lot of that same kind of stuff. You have like the old J. Crew ads. You've got the like Abercrombie stuff from the 90s that was like at its peak. You've got just like old cars driving through the wilderness, kind of like whatever fits. But now it's so hard. You're right. Like we're all chronically online that it's really hard to see stuff and not like either be too inspired or like turned off or any number of things. Cause there's just so much out there and it's like, how do I like focus in and actually pull something out of it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of it for me is like just amassing everything. I just like things that I see. I'll move on and then I'll try to go back to it later and be like, okay, this is cool. I like this and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. then I also have that concern where like you're on Instagram, you're just scrolling, you're in your Discover feed and suddenly it's like, wait, am I just getting served like what everyone in my algorithm is getting served? Like, is there anything exactly. original that's like that I'm seeing right now that's going to actually inspire me in a different way? And so it's kind of like, that's when I'm like, okay, I got to get offline and like go somewhere else. Whenever we interview people and talk about like inspiration or anything, you always just hear people going out and, you know, going to the cool part of town. And that sometimes is like very much the best way just to be like, okay, what's in right now? What are people digging? Like what do I draw from that? And that's like sometimes the most fun is just going and having a coffee or a drink somewhere in a cool coffee shop or on a street somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, I love the physical aspect. I mean, like as a kid, I always loved like collecting magazines and stuff of like, when I was a kid, I really liked the skater magazines, like the Thrashers and stuff like that. And there was just so many like cool shoots and ideas and products and whatever it may be, or even just like some of the architectural magazines and just like photos of really cool houses. I've got a book of lofts from like the 80s and 90s in New York. And they're just like the coolest photos of these crazy lofts. And sometimes I'll just like go back to stuff like that. And it's like, okay, well, that's not a direct link to a product or an idea per se, but that loft looks like something I saw that we could shoot at, and maybe that's going to be the basis of our next campaign. Mm-hmm. So pulling things from like random that might not be directly tied, I feel like is a nice way. Anything to get me offline.
Yeah. I mean, you just brought up like skate magazines. Were you a skater back in the day?
I like to think I was, but I was definitely not good enough to be called a skater. but I definitely subscribed to the lifestyle.
It's fun. Like we were just on with the canoe club guys a couple weeks ago, and we were talking to them about like, it's so many people that are like, so many guys, especially that are interested in fashion, like had skate culture in their life at some point, or like punk music and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny that like, I always look at skateboarding as, it's a very technical sport, but at the same time, it's so driven by style that even if you're technically good and you don't have any style, like people don't really get drawn to you. And it's just cool to, even now I still watch like a lot of skate videos and I'll even try to take my board out and stuff, but I got speed wobbles for the first time in years the other day. And it was like, oh no, I'm going to break both my wrists with two kids at home like an idiot. And so I've been trying to avoid doing too much on it. Just an absolutely frightening experience.
You're right there about the skate stuff. I feel like everyone comes back to it at some point in time. I feel like it's just, I mean, they're always, I feel like at the forefront of stuff, whether they're like ahead of it or like bringing back something that is going to be cool again. like skaters just like know what's up. I mean, I'm not a skater now by any means, but definitely growing up, I thought it was like a really, they were like the cool kids at school where I was like, oh yeah, I think I could be like them. Like when you're younger, you look up at the older grades and you're like, oh, where are they going? Uh-huh. They have cool outfits on. Like they've got their skateboards.
Oh, for yeah. sure. Like, yeah, the older skate kids were like, even before I skateboarded, I was just like, those guys are cool. Like they get it. We had a kid that would, he was 2 years older than me. I ended up becoming friends with him later in life, which was great. But I was almost embarrassed to tell him that when I was in like middle school, I saw him skating around in Stan Smith's, and he was the only kid skating in Stan Smith's, and they were just torn up, but it was cool. And I was like, dude, like you're wearing tennis shoes in a scenario where you're not supposed to be wearing tennis shoes. And I thought it was like the coolest thing of all time, but it just shows that like how much the culture of like kind of any niche interest like that, like the style mm-hmm. that evolves from that has just so many like wings that come from it. It's inspiring Absolutely. To me at least. When it comes to your current line of products, do you have anything that sticks out where you're like, I was just fired? Like, it's my favorite thing right now. I just love it. I'm so glad we can offer it. It's on the site. Like,
right now, I would say the knitwear, but they just sold out the same day they dropped. So,
that's congratulations.
Kind of like a bad one to plug. we have a few. I mean, I feel like it's hard because anything I like say, like whatever drops that week is like the thing that I like the most. Mm-hmm. So we had the fleece jackets and vests that I was just telling you about, big chunky ones. And I was obsessed with those. They dropped, it was still 90 degrees in LA, but I'm like, I'm going to wear it anyways. I don't care. I love this. It fits exactly how I want it to. And then 2 weeks later we had the double snap hood restock, and those are now made in Canada. And I was like all fired up about those, and I was wearing those every day for like 2 weeks straight. And then the knitwear dropped. And so everything that comes out, I'm like fired up. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. Yeah. It always feels so good just to like finally release something and be like, all right, get it out of my hands, get it done with. It's over. Do you have any brands that you currently love that you're like, you're going to and you're checking out, or any up and coming brands that you're like just super into?
To be frank, I don't buy a lot of new clothes these days.
That's a great answer.
I mean, anything that I want, I could probably make for EOT. And so it just makes more sense to do that, mm-hmm. whether it's a sample or a full production piece. If I want something, then I'll just make it exactly how I want it and fit or fabric exactly how I need it to be. But stuff I do buy, and I mean, it's all like more accessory based. So it's like shoes mm-hmm. or it's something for the home or something that like we have no business making, but are really cool.
You'll probably end up making something at some point that you think you have no business making though. Like I see a shoe collab in the future somehow.
That would be nice. Clark's.
When you're seriously bang that line hard. When you're vintage shopping, do you have any methodology to it, or do you just throw yourself into a store and start rifling through?
I don't go to the store. That's my tip.
Okay.
It's all on eBay.
I love it.
I am an eBay fanatic. Most people will like scroll TikTok before they go to bed, and I will scroll eBay before I go to bed. As long as you know your measurements, mm-hmm. you're fine.
Yeah.
You can get whatever you want. If you don't know your measurements, you just measure your favorite pair of jeans at the waist and the inseam, and that's it. It's like, I'll get my favorite like 80s and 90s Levi's for like $20 on eBay with $5 shipping. And they fit exactly how I want them to be because I use my measurements, and the tag is no longer accurate. The guy will measure it for you. Some guy in Texas who just has 100 pairs of jeans in his basement, and boom, now I got my favorite pair of jeans. And that's kind of like anything. So I'll see something online or in like an old catalog, even like a lot of the J. Crew stuff or Eddie Bauer. I'll like see it somewhere online. I'm like, that's cool. Instantly to eBay, vintage Eddie Bauer jacket pockets, and just search until I find it.
See, that's exactly how so many people should be operating. Like, that's such a fun way to do it. That's such like a unique way to do it. And it's relatively straightforward. Whereas like it's going to different stores and scrolling online and having the tabs open and fighting for prices and then like eventually going to resale or something. It's just like, oh my God, what are we doing here? Do you find yourself being so go ahead.
I was just saying you can find anything on eBay for a fraction of what it should be other places. I just think that nobody wants to look for it. I think if you really just spend an hour just digging through on page 14 on eBay, you finally find the exact one that you want. And that's all it takes.
Are you a buy it now guy? Are you putting in bids all the time?
No. That's a low ball.
I said earlier how online I am, that now I feel like a lot of the time when I'm not at work or I need to get offline, like I'm just craving those activities of going places or just distracting myself. And like going to a vintage store has been something that I've been doing a little bit more lately, but I've really found a lot of gratification in shopping for vinyls. And I got my setup going earlier this year, and it's become a complete obsession for me. And when I saw that you were offering some slip mats, I was like, oh yeah, I got to get that drawing of the Land Rover on the slip mat. That's like perfect for the setup. Yeah. So you have to be a vinyl person if you have slip mats, right?
Absolutely. I was just going to say, you were talking about how you go to vintage stores and like, that's when you need to like kind of unplug and just go look for stuff and enjoy your time. That's me with record stores. I love it. I'll pop in somewhere. It's just fun. I was at a flea market a few weeks ago because some friends were in town, and normally I don't go to the flea markets in LA just because they're usually pretty picked over and not the best, but there's a couple booths of guys just with a few milk crates of vinyls. And I was like, oh, perfect. I'll waste 10 minutes digging through these. That's amazing.
Are you looking, you're looking for like the old vintage stuff?
Kind of more now than recent, or more now than ever. I feel like originally when I first got into it was back in college and I got my first record player, and it was more like new stuff that I was listening to like on Spotify or whatever that I was like, oh, it'd be cool to have it also on vinyl. But as I continue to get older, I appreciate more music from wider walks of life. And I feel like that's where I get a lot of the vinyls. I got my dad a record player actually a couple of Christmases ago, and because he's a huge music guy, always has been. And growing up, he obviously loves everything from the 60s, 70s, 80s, stuff like that. And so I gave him that for Christmas, and he'll just message me on a random Wednesday at 2 p.m. Oh, look at this shop I was at in some small town in Ontario I've never heard of, and found these great picks. It was only $2 each. And I was like, Dad, aren't you supposed to be working? But also, can I get the name for that place?
I know. Like, I find myself ducking out for like lunch, and I'm like, I'm going to go run by the record store real quick and like rifle through all the new arrivals. And like, our store has like the new arrivals, and then it has the section of like the stuff that people have sold back to the record store. And then they have the separate section that's like used and rare stuff that just got sold back. And that's where I just like lick my chops. And I'm like, okay, I can't wait to like go through these two rows of records and then come back a week later and just see a bunch of new different ones. It's such a money sucks if you get like super into it, but it's also so gratifying to like go out and find something that you've been looking for or that surprised you. And it's almost like, it's kind of replaced the feeling that I get of actually shopping for like clothing and apparel. It's the same feeling that I got when I first started like getting into shopping, that now I'm like, oh, this is way more fun. Do you have a good setup?
I have a decent setup. I don't really have the space for a proper one. Mm-hmm. We're like in the middle of potentially moving because our lease is up and stuff. So that is definitely something I'm considering. But I mean, I've got a project something and then a bunch of records, and I've got Sonos throughout my whole house, so I just link it up to that, which is great. But something about it, the just tangible feeling of the music, putting it on, especially like when you have people over for dinner or something, it just feels more like when I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid, it was mostly CDs and stuff that my parents had, but it was still the same thing. You have to think about what you want to put on, go find it, put it in, put on a new one when it ends.
It's a nice process to distract you from doing stuff. And like, I know that you can just go put on a playlist and toss it on Bluetooth and call it a day, but like, there's something nice about putting the phone away and getting it away from you, like going through the process of doing it and intentionally doing something that has nothing to do with any screens or anything. And it's just cool to have these I've found some records recently that like I open it up and there's like a piece of paper in there with like a very nondescript note. And I was like, well, this is cool. Like this guy just randomly probably put this in there. And now I'm finding it years later, or it was just from the record store when they were going through stuff. But like, it's just it's cool. You get to see this kind of like history within these relics that actually serve a purpose and sound good these days. It's a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always like, I mean, it comes back to that, like bargain in me. Like I like to find something and like you find it for a good deal. And there's like, it's same with eBay and stuff. Like there's a big satisfactory element to finding something. Like the one I just picked up the other day was Miss Lauryn Hill's Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Dude, don't tell me that. I just passed that up at our store in the used section. That was like the rare section. I was devastated that I gave it up when I went back.
I've always wanted it, but like, it's usually way too expensive for me to justify buying it. And I was buying something else on Discogs, and I saw that it was like, add it to your cart for free shipping. And he had a few other things, and this was on it, and it was like $35, and the cover was completely wrecked. But I was like, that's fine. Add it to the list.
I'm really glad you brought up Discogs, because that has been like, that's the new thing I scroll. That's the new thing that I like going into. And like, even if I, it's nice to like think of some music from back in the day and be like, oh, like, I wonder if there's any cool versions of that, and hopping on, combing through, going through like all the different years, the represses. It's like such an addiction, and it only feeds itself. Like, do you find yourself on Discogs doing the same thing?
I need to just stop myself sometimes, because I'm like, I don't need the first pressing. That seems aggressive. Mm-hmm. I don't need to find the best of the best of the best. I just like, relax, Ethan. Like, you don't need to get so invested.
Yeah, I just found myself like, yeah, I'll find something and I'll be like, oh wait, like, I'm not even that into this album, but now that I know that it's like super rare and they only like, did so many pressings, I'm like, now I absolutely need it. Like, this is a must now.
Yeah. That's like with me on eBay, like anytime I'll find something with a frog camo, which is just like, I love the print of it, and generally it's from like 50 to 60s, I believe, and they're not like the easiest to find and usually not the cheapest. And so like, there's that, I'm going to kick myself for saying this because someone's going to buy it, but there's a vintage Eddie Bauer frog camo puffer jacket right now that is just a little bit more than I should spend on a frog camo puffer jacket on eBay, but it's sitting there in my watch list, and I'm like, this is so niche. And I don't really think I need it, but the fact that I know too much about it, now I feel like I want it.
Mm-hmm. It almost becomes less of like a something that serves a purpose, and it's more just like this vintage like art piece that you just kind of want to have and like have in time. Yeah. And like, I mean, I bought a custom vinyl the other day. I ordered online, and like, it just blatantly says like, you can listen to this. It's not going to sound as good, but this is an art piece. So just enjoy it as an art piece and don't do it. But I'm still just like, no, I'm going to listen to that and probably still frame something from it. But yeah, it's that whole addiction of like, just fetishizing something that you've gotten really into, whether it's frog camo or vinyls. It's a fun thing to have, but it's also a dangerous kind of slippery slope. Today's episode is also brought to you by Alfa Romeo. If you haven't already, go check out the brand new Tonale from Alfa Romeo. This thing's all new. It's loaded with tech. It's got a large touchscreen. It's got safety tech. It's got the automatic emergency braking, so you know that you're in good hands. And most of all, these things are just fun to drive. They've got that classic Alfa Romeo performance. We even got to take some out to the F1 race here in Austin at the Circuit of the Americas. And we have to say, when you're riding in one of these, you're riding in luxury. They've got that Italian exterior and in the interior design that is just unique and it stands out. It's sleek, but it's not doing too much. They even have the plug-in hybrid technology and freedom to choose between gas and electric. Right now, you can go learn more about the Alfa Romeo Tonale at alfaromeousa.com. How about we hop into how you spend your Sundays?
Let's do it.
Let's see. Well, here, let me. I got some questions for you. So we'll divide and conquer. Yeah. What's your ideal Sunday outfit?
I would say currently it is a pair of sweatpants and a knit sweater.
That sounds pretty damn good. Do you have any Sunday feeling kicks when you look down at the coffee shop and you're like, okay, yeah, this looks good?
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. It changes. It changes all the time. I feel like right now, I bought a pair of Adidas Gazelles, these like yellow Adidas Gazelles, which look like Pikachus on your feet. Mm-hmm. And they're so jarring, but they're so comfortable. I've never owned Gazelles before. They're amazing. And that with a pair of sweatpants and a knit sweater, I'm walking down to the coffee shop. I feel cool. I feel put together. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your go-to coffee order?
Americano, splash of oat milk.
Do you ever go iced, or are you just straight up hot Americano?
No, it's got to be really hot out to get an iced. And it's got to be the second coffee of the day. The first one, no matter the temperature, has to be hot.
It's the Canadian in you, I think. I think you're used to having that hot coffee in the morning.
something feels wrong waking up and just putting something cold. I can't do it. Same thing with water. Like, it has to be room temperature. I don't drink cold water. It's just crazy.
When it actually, now that you mentioned that, that actually makes sense to me. Like, I do feel like it's nicer in the morning to drink something like warm, as opposed to when you I almost feel like an iced coffee for me is more utility, whereas a hot cup of coffee for me is like just kind of a nice wake up.
Exactly. The iced coffee is, I'm out, I'm tired, I have more things to do, and I need to pound this back.
When it comes to a breakfast on a Sunday, how do you take your eggs? Or what's your ideal Sunday breakfast?
Okay, well, how I take my eggs is usually over easy. Or if I'm doing something, soft scramble. But if I'm just going to make some eggs quick, over easy is always the way to go. As for a breakfast, though, we've been making this breakfast very simple that we've been loving. Start with labneh, which is like a pressed yogurt, a little bit of lemon and garlic in there. Poached eggs on top, a little harissa, a little dill. Delicious. And then you dip the pita bread in it. Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. It's like five ingredients, but it's just full of flavor.
Do you drink?
Yes.
What would be your go-to hangover cure if you maybe took it a little too far the night before?
It's a good question. I feel like probably just a big coffee and a couple of Advils and a big thing of water. I don't subscribe to any of the like funky remedies or smoothie with 16 things you can't pronounce in it. I just give me the water and the Advil and a coffee and we'll power through.
If you were to be hungover on a Sunday, a recent Sunday, what would be the most likely thing that caused that hangover for you right now?
That would be the mixture of starting with a gin and tonic and then finishing a bottle, maybe two, of wine, red wine.
That'll do it. That'll do it. That's also a trajectory that I've been on before. Do you have any emotional support movies or TV shows that you might watch if you're not tossing a vinyl on that day?
Yeah, what I've been really into right now is rewatching Suits for the 17th time. I love that show. Something about it. It's filmed in Toronto too, so I feel like I like to watch it and recognize all the scenes because it's like where I grew up. But I just finished it for probably the fourth time. I think the first time I watched it was back in high school, and I was like, "Oh, I've never heard of this show. It's so amazing!" And since then, I've rewatched it quite often.
See, my business partner and co-host on Circling Back, Dylan, he's been watching Suits lately, and like I've never watched it before. And I've got some in-laws that are watching it currently. I think I might just need to go all in on Suits.
The first two seasons are spectacular. It slowly goes downhill from there, but the first two seasons, without a doubt, you can binge and enjoy.
Well, if it's not food, if it's not watching TV, do you have any coping mechanisms or things that relax you on a Sunday? I know you talked about burning some incense earlier and stuff like that. Is there anything that you just do or any habits that you try to aspire to do on a Sunday?
No, I feel like Sundays are pretty calm for me. I mean, I work for myself now for couple years now, so I feel like the Sunday scaries as they are much more subdued than they used to be. I don't frankly just don't get as frightened of a Monday anymore. But I usually like to do some sort of activity, whether it's like a hike, there's a ton of great ones in LA, or it's a run or a walk or whatever it may be. So I feel like Sunday is a day to just like do nothing, get a little bit of fresh air, and then go back to doing nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty much perfect. So what does your ideal Sunday look like from wake up to turn down?
Wake up. I mean, I generally can't sleep past 8, even if I try. So we'll wake up, let's say 7:30, 8. We will make a coffee, maybe an Americano. Lately, I've been steaming the oat milk for a little Americano Misto action.
Okay.
Feels very fancy.
Speaking my language.
Totally unnecessary, but I'm all about it. And then probably park it on the couch for a bit, watch a show, maybe an episode or two of Suits, and just kind of like slowly wake up and figure out what I'm going to do that day. Usually by like 10 or 11, I'm bored out of my mind and I need to get outside and do something. So I'll go for a run, hike, something. Been really into rock climbing lately. So a friend of mine will go and we'll do that. Maybe not on a Sunday, but maybe. Probably around like noon, 1 o'clock, realize that I haven't really eaten yet and I need to eat some lunch because I'm starving. So I feel like Sundays I'm not making lunch. I feel like I could care less.
I like picking up sandwiches or something, or like it's just something kind of healthy or fresh feeling. But like I hate, I don't like, it makes me feel productive if I go out and pick something up as opposed to just like making it at my place. I should feel more productive if I make it at my place, but just leaving my place and going and doing it just gives me that like air of productivity.
Exactly. Like we'll go on like a, we'll go for a walk or drive and go on a hike or something. And then like, oof, we should just go pick up lunch on the way home. That sounds great. That sounds exactly like what we need to do. And in the afternoon, pretty chill. Usually I'll do some sort of work, computer stuff, and take it easy for the afternoon. And then probably like 3 or 4, realize that we're going to need to make dinner soon. And Sundays I like to cook. I mean, I cook a lot anyways, but Sundays especially, I feel like it's when I make something a little bit more extravagant or interesting. Mm-hmm. So we'll go to the grocery store and pick up some stuff and then make dinner. If people are over, maybe we'll open a bottle of wine and just kick it.
Sounds pretty good to me. Well, I'm going to kick myself if I don't ask you this question, because I know that people are going to be like, why didn't you ask this question to close things out? Where did every other Thursday come from, the actual term?
Originally kind of like getting paid every other week. You're like biweekly paycheck. For some reason, when I was a kid, I remember my mom's paycheck being on Thursdays, every other Thursday. And so when I thought of the name, that clicked and I was like, oh, well, that just makes sense.
Well, thank you for taking the time to, hang out for a little bit today. I love what you're doing with every other Thursday. It's just, everything you put out has been absolute gas lately, and it's just on the up and up. So, keep doing what you're doing.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, this is going to go out. Usually I release stuff on Sundays, but I think because of the weird week next week, I think I'm going to put this out on Wednesday next week for people that are maybe on the sure. road or doing stuff. So I think we're going to keep an eye out for that on, okay. What's it called? Black Friday. What do they call Wednesday?
Oh crap. Yeah. That's
so yeah. Well, thank you for doing this. I'm sorry Barrett wanted to be here, but he works for Howler Brothers and has just been like inundated with just holiday stuff. So his schedule's just been terrible.
Good. Totally understand.
All right. Well, hopefully talk soon.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Talk soon. If you liked what you heard today, make sure to subscribe, review, or tell a friend in need about this podcast. By subscribing, you guarantee that each and every episode gets delivered directly to your phone every Sunday morning. You can also go follow along on Twitter @SundayScaries and Instagram, which is @Sunday.Scaries. But you can also follow me on both Twitter and Instagram @WillDeFries. And remember, always trim the wicks on your scented candles. See you next Sunday. Maybe.